Before we turn to the story of the rich young man, which is today's gospel, I'd like to pause for a moment on today's saint, San Roque. We have been praying the Oratio Imperata for a long time. In fact, in the beginning, when the bishops first mandated this prayer, it was the shorter version, we were told to pray it three times a day. And that's what we were doing for months until I got tired of that. And I said, let's just pray it once a day, and then the rest of the time we'll pray for the end of the pandemic. We don't have to pray all these words. Then the bishops issued a longer prayer, the one that we use now. And they included the business about the vaccines, and they included St. Joseph, because by that time the year of St. Joseph had begun. But both in the short version and in the long version, we have these invocations at the end. We invoke Our Lady, health of the sick. Naturally, we turn to Our Lady. Now we turn to St. Joseph, because it's the year of St. Joseph. Turn to St. Raphael the Archangel, because he's the angel known as a healer, right, in the Bible. Then, because this is a national prayer, we add the two Filipino saints, San Lorenzo Ruiz and San Pedro Calungsod. And then there's this man, today's saint, San Roque. Not a Filipino, Frenchman, but he must have been quite popular among the Spanish, because the richness of Spanish devotion is what was brought here to the Philippines, and there is a pretty strong devotion to San Roque here to this day. In fact, there's a San Roque parish there in Muntinlupa. So San Roque is part of the Filipino Catholic tradition, and his feast day is on the calendar here, not on the Universal Church. In the Universal Church, the feast is St. Stephen of Hungary, but here, San Roque, or the English name given to him is St. Roque. I never heard of a St. Roque, so it's hard for me to use that name. The only Roque I know is Roque Hudson, the actor. But anyway, same man. What's the story behind this San Roque? It struck me this morning that we have been in the pandemic for whatever it is, 20 months, and we have not yet celebrated the Feast of San Roque, because last year, August 16, fell on a Sunday. So 2 years ago, San Roque, the Feast of San Roque, we were not in a pandemic. We never even heard of a pandemic. We never heard of a COVID-19, didn't exist yet. Then last year, August 16, 2020, there was no Feast of San Roque because it fell on a Sunday. So this is our first opportunity to honor San Roque with a feast, this man to whom we are praying, or whom we are invoking every single day for months and months. Well, San Roque lived in the 14th century. I don't know him that well, but I just know the basics of his story. As a young man, he gave away all his possessions. He did exactly what the young man in today's gospel was invited to do. And he served the poor. He made a pilgrimage to Rome. Rome, when he was there, came under the burden of a plague. Now, I don't know if the plague was there before he got there, or if it happened when he was there. I don't know the details, but San Roque dedicated himself to serving victims of the plague. And it turns out he had a gift of healing. So many of the people that he ministered to got well. But then he himself caught the disease. I'm not sure what happened exactly, because one account I looked at said that he was kicked out of Rome because he had the plague. So they quarantined him in the woods. Other version, the version that's in the Ordo, says that he withdrew from the people. He quarantined himself, went into the woods. And it was there that a dog found him and licked his, he had a wound on his leg. That's why in statues of San Roque, he's always got a dog. Yeah, that's why, because the dog found him in the woods. And then the owner of the dog, who was a wealthy hunter, was looking for his dog, found the dog, found San Roque. And it was this wealthy man who helped San Roque recover. So one of the cases where a rich man is not a bad guy, he's actually a good guy. And so San Roque recovered. But San Roque is invoked in times of plague, which is what we're in right now. And that's why it's fitting that his name is among those listed at the end of the Oratio Imperata. San Roque, pray for us. We pray to him because he was a healer in his lifetime, but also, and even more so, he has a reputation as a healer after he died. That's when he became really famous as a healer. People would call on his intercession and be healed. So that's what we're doing now, some 700 or 800 years after he died, San Roque. Another thing we learn from San Roque, aside from the miraculous gift of healing, is that he dedicated himself to the care of the sick. This is a deeply Christian response to the sick, to care for them. It's not a Christian response to prioritize self-preservation. When we care for the sick, there's always a risk that we're going to get sick. And that's what happened to San Roque. In fact, it happened to many saints who cared for plague victims. And many, many saints died of the very plague that they were trying to overcome with their charitable actions. In some cases, in many cases, in times of plague, it was the charitable actions of Christians that not only saved many of the victims, because not everybody dies of a plague, some people recover, as it is today. Most of the people recover from COVID-19. And they especially recover if they're cared for properly. So it was not only that people recovered from the plague, but people saw the selfless behavior of the Christians and they were attracted to Christianity. So one of the reasons why Christianity grew during times of plague is because they took care of each other, for one thing, but also because even those who were not Christian were cared for and they were inspired by their selfless service. Now, in our times, it's the frontliners, it's the medical professionals that take care of the sick. We're not even allowed to get anywhere near the sick now. That's the bizarre situation that we're in during the lockdown. But we should not miss this central message of San Roque's witness. Christians are called to love of God and love of neighbor. We are not to make the first commandment to isolate ourselves and to live in fear of getting infected. That's not the first commandment. It's not the second commandment. It's not the third commandment. Yes, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to be prudent. I spoke yesterday about the dignity and the theology of the body. We celebrated the Assumption. The body is holy. The body is for the glory of God. We're supposed to take care of our bodies, and we're supposed to take care of the bodies of others, meaning we take care of people. So it's not that we neglect ourselves or take unnecessary risks, but neither do we make our own health an idol. San Roque didn't. And none of the saints did. Because self-preservation is not the main motivation of a Christian. That's a natural motivation. Okay, so with that in mind, let's turn to this young man in the gospel. We have this tendency to think of people as bad guys and good guys. But when we read the gospels, we realize it's not that simple. It's not that black and white, and all the bad guys are the Caiaphases and the Roman soldiers, and all the good guys are the apostles. It's not like that. We see the bad guys. We see Pharisees and people who are violent in their opposition to Jesus. But then we also see pagans, the centurion or the Syrophoenician woman, whom Jesus praises as examples of faith. You say, well, oh, they looked to the Jews like outsiders, but in fact they were supposed to be included among the good. Then you have some of the apostles. Well, the first one that comes to mind is Matthew. I mean, he was a tax collector, so he didn't look like a good guy at all. He becomes an apostle and an evangelist. And then you have Judas. He's an apostle. He's a good guy. No, he isn't. He's a villain. So this is it. Good guys, bad guys. It's not as clear cut as it seems on the surface. Well, here, this young man, he's not a bad guy. I mean, he follows the commandments. He's attracted to Jesus. He asks Jesus a very good question. What good must I do to gain eternal life? And then when Jesus says, follow the commandments, he says, well, which ones? He's not being boastful or insincere. He really wants to know what he's supposed to do. He senses something is missing and he wants to do better. What do I still lack? I'm following the commandments. What's missing here? It's a question that we all have to ask. What's missing? It's a question not only for each of us personally, it's really a question for society, because we're not going to reach the end of the pandemic unless we keep asking the Lord, what's missing? What do we still lack? How are we not responding right to you, Lord, that you are allowing us to be humiliated and afflicted by the COVID-19? What do I still lack? Jesus gives this challenging and disturbing response. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven, and then come, follow me. It sounds at first like a terrible demand, because the man he's not a bad guy. He's not a Matthew. He's not a tax collector. He's not a pagan. He's a good, observant Jew, and he has to abandon everything. And then we realize, wait a minute now, that's not a bad thing at all, because the real heart of the invitation here is follow me. He's giving this man an opportunity to be free, to be a disciple, to learn the path of love. It's a great opportunity. It's not a terrible burden. But the man, as we know, goes away sad, for he had many possessions. He can't free himself from the idea that those possessions are the blessing, that those possessions are the proof that he's doing the right thing. He can't break out of it. So maybe we would say he doesn't follow Jesus because he's greedy or he's attached, yes. But he's also afraid. He's also weak. He can't make that leap of faith. And that is sad. He chooses self-defense. He chooses self-preservation instead of self-gift. And that's sad. I deliberately use that term self-preservation because this is the temptation for all of us in a time of plague. It's a temptation in every age. To make sure that we have what we want first, or to make sure that we'll be okay first, and then give God and our neighbor what's left over. That's the temptation. Jesus says no. If you want to be perfect, if you want to be who I have made you to be, if you want to be truly fulfilled, if you want to be really happy, don't make self-preservation your God. Let go of it. Make a gift of yourself. It's actually pretty easy to give away possessions. It's always a challenge. It's much harder to give away ourselves. Much harder to give away our preferences, to give away our time, to take risks that people won't like us or that we'll get sick. or that we'll be at a loss. Those are hard decisions to make, and we can't make them unless we hear Jesus inviting us to follow him. We don't do it because we think it's a great idea. We do it because we think God has a great idea. We follow him. We trust in him. So that's, I think, what San Roque wants us to know. He wants us to be healed. He prays for our healing. He prays for the end of the pandemic. But he also wants us to trust in God. He wants us to follow Jesus. That's the way to not only to physical healing, but to spiritual healing, spiritual fulfillment. It's the way to glory, as we saw yesterday with Our Lady and her Assumption. So let's hear this word of Jesus to the rich young man. It's his word to us as well. Come, follow me, and don't let anything get in the way.